and welcome to New Every Day on the Road. My name's Jen.
I'm Shelly. Nice to meet you.
And today we're going to talk about taking risks, so stay tuned. Day. As you can tell, we're on the road, and the last 2 weeks you've met our friend James, who we went hiking with along the Niagara Escarpment, and today Shelly and I are heading back home and just thinking about our adventure. And actually, we do this quite a bit. We talk. Shelly is one of my very good friends, and we talk about our days and how Jesus fits into our days and how it makes us think. And we got talking about, you know, different aspects of our hike and what they taught us. And as we were going along, I'm watching Shelly and James both, like, literally hop from place to place to place to place. And I'm like, but how do they know they can put their foot there? How do they know that it's safe there? How do they know they're not going to twist an ankle? And that came to mind. I'm like, what happens if I twist my ankle? Like, are they going to carry me out?
We were really far in too, and it was really rocky, but I don't know. These are the thoughts that she's having. So it was, for me, I'm not really sure why I'm so fearless in that sense, but I just thought if I fall, I fall. If I twist my ankle, I twist my ankle. I'm treading light is what I was doing, but there was a lot of stuff that, yeah, we could have hurt ourselves pretty bad. If there was one slip, because we were down a gorge. We were in the middle of a gorge.
Yep.
So it was literally like this, and we're like propelling backwards down this hill. And yeah, some of us were a little more cautious than others.
Cautious. All I could think about was, how do they know there's not ice underneath there? How do they know that there's not mud? And I'm literally, like, and that's...
Yeah.
Shelly's like, are you normally like that cautious? And all I could think about was, is that safe to put my foot? And yet I'm watching her taking leaps and bounds, and she's like so far ahead of me. And part of me wanted to say, oh, but that's because she's younger.
Yeah.
Her body doesn't ache the same way that my body aches. It's okay.
I'm not sure. My mind was blank, and I was just focusing on what I needed to do. And so I have no idea why I was like that. Or James. Like, James has done this before. So I could see that he was used to going through the certain paths, or knowing if something was going to be slippery or icy, or knowing that, oh, yes, under here there's slippery rocks, or there's mud, or, you know, something that's going to make you slip. So I can understand his view. But my view of it was, it was totally the me not thinking what I'm doing ahead, which is really bad in a sense. But I mean, I have an older sister, and she is very cautious, just like you. And I always thought that she's not having fun, you know, like we're doing so many different things, and, you know, why is she so safe and cautious? But you know what? There always needs to be someone to drive me to the ambulance. So I think that's a good thing. I think that's a great thing to have, you know?
Oh,
I did have the thoughts of, what if I did hurt myself? We are a far way away from a building or anything, and you guys would have to lift me up. But I feel like that came and went, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, you are a bit more cautious, but that's completely fine. And we do things very differently,
it was so good, because she inspired me several times. Like, Jen, like, at one point she ran down the hill, ran back up again, and I was like, oh, she's doing that like for momentum, so she doesn't have to like groan her way up the hill. And I thought, okay, you can do that. You can do it. Jen, you're not so old that your body is broken down. Like, come on, stop being an old lady, at one point is what I said to myself.
Stop,
like,
being an old lady.
Come on. And so as she went first, and she raced down this hill and raced back up, and I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I did it, and I was like, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. In a couple of other spots, James would say, okay, be careful here, it's slippery. Mm-hmm. or be careful here, it's icy, or just watch for the rocks. That one spot where we're going down where it, moss covered rocks, and they're all very loose, but I couldn't tell that. And I would have just went, you know, and the first few steps I'm like, oh, what is he talking about? And then as we went further in, I was like, yeah. Oh, like this actually is quite dangerous. And I think you said that at one time, like, okay, you need to be careful here. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting, is like this knowing of when to take risks and when to be careful and when to listen. Mm-hmm. Like, James only told us to be careful when yes. we needed to be careful, which right. is really interesting. Any other point, like he was just going ahead, leading the way, and then he would turn around at one point and say, okay, you need to be careful here.
Yeah.
Or like, it's slippery here. And I was like, you know, isn't that interesting how some, like, that's often what we can feel like, God's not listening or God's not mm-hmm. paying attention. And yet he always intervenes exactly when he needs to. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, he will let us just figure out our path a little bit. Like, our eyes are focused on him. But at some point, I actually want to be like, James, how come you're not walking back here with Shelly and I?
Yeah.
And like, he was just...
Yeah, he's way up ahead.
Way up ahead and scoping things out. And he actually said, sometimes I don't talk very much when I'm hiking. And as you can tell in our previous show, he's very chatty. Mm. And I think Jesus is like that a lot sometimes. Yeah. Is like on the journey, we are expecting him to chat. And other time, and
that
he's
is
like,
good. Yeah, that is so true.
And he's like, there is nothing to say at this point in time. Like, and I think we can think Jesus always has something to say, but I think sometimes, I want to say, we fill up the spiritual airwaves.
Oh yeah, totally.
But several times, okay, so since we're talking about fear, and James would go ahead, he would tell us when to be afraid, but sometimes there would be like in your face opportunities to overcome fear.
Yeah.
And so at one point, we'll show you some photos of going back and forth across the river. Would you call it a river?
Like a stream. The stream down from a waterfall.
Oh, waterfall, gorgeous. River, stream, wonderful. But lots of rocks and very...
Yeah, different terrains.
Yes, so. Fast moving, shall we say. So at one point, Shelly and James are like, well, let's just go across this log. And I'm like, you've got to be joking. And like James just went, ran right
yeah,
across.
Yeah, he just ran right across.
And then Shelly, she sort of...
I don't know what I did. I don't know what I was expecting. I didn't know if it was going to be slippery, that I could just walk across. But I had seen this lady go across one of those... What is it called?
Log?
One of those logs before right. on her fours. So I was like, if she can do it, I could do it. But I'd never done this before. So I kind of just ran with that. And I didn't... Okay, you can tell them what happened. There's a video of what happened, actually. The first time I made it over quite fine. The second time I went back and I lost my, I want to say footing, but I was on my knees. I lost my knee.
This is so true.
And I fell right on in. So I had that, everybody had that silent moment. No one said anything
nope.
for like a good 2 seconds because I was hanging on.
She was
the
hanging
log.
On the
I was
log.
Hanging on the log and there was like gushing water beneath me. But when my legs fell, I just stood right up. So in a sense, I thought I'd hurt myself, but you know, when you out of that little panic mode, you kind of just realize, oh, I'm fine. And then they just started asking you, okay, yeah, I'm just standing in knee deep water, no big deal. And it was freezing.
And the thing is, I was videotaping the whole thing.
She was
thing.
Of no service to me at all.
And I'm just like, this is really good footage, but I'm not really sure what to do right now. She's not broken, okay? She's not broken. This is a good thing. She's not broken. Yeah. Okay. And I'm like, are you okay? And I think I might have said something like, can you come out or whatever. But she came out and she was wet but was able to keep going. And we actually talked about, it was like a child when they fall.
Yeah.
And how so often when they fall, we're like, oh, you know, there's two responses. First response is, oh, are you okay? Okay. And then they immediately start crying and the mm-hmm. world is coming to an end. And the second time, or the second option is waiting.
Yeah.
And not necessarily even engaging them face to face.
Yeah.
But letting them actually take stock and, okay, I'm okay. And let them think about it themselves first before the parent or the caregiver jumps in. And that, I think, goes along with that whole idea that we always want Jesus to step in, mm-hmm. like, come on, save me. And he's saying, well, take stock first. Mm-hmm. Like, how are things actually going? Like, how are you feeling right now? Like, this just happened. How are you feeling? Take stock. What have you learned? What would you do differently? How are you going to get out? That's something I know I've thought about a lot.
And I think sometimes we feel so helpless as well. Because the passage I just read to you about just wanting to pray your way out of something or just through it as quickly as you can, because sometimes it is painful or sometimes it is a slow process. But yeah, he really wants us to stop in that moment and kind of like assess what's going on. Are you physically hurt? Maybe not. Or are you emotionally hurt? Maybe not. You're just overreacting. So I think times like that, or different times when we just need to stop and take stock of what's actually going on around us, then I'm not sure how to wrap that one up, but
maybe it would actually lead us to taking more risks if we actually took responsibility in the midst of those situations to say, you know what, I'm not going to get broken. I haven't died. And she didn't die. She simply got wet. And yet, you know, every part of me was just like, and it's like, well, I wouldn't do that because I don't want to walk around. Well, what about, what experience are you missing out on because you're too afraid not to?
Yeah.
And so we're going to pause right there, take a commercial break, come back soon.
Now here's another great way you can support the shows you love from the Category5.tv network by shopping at GearBest.
That's right, Jeff. Cat5.tv/GearBest. It's an online store for the geek streak in you.
Or the loved ones.
Well, of course. I mean, especially your loved ones, right? Because Cat5.tv/GearBest, quite frankly, has all of the greatest tech gifts that you could ever hope for at rock-bottom prices.
Do they have cell phones?
You betcha. Cat5.tv/GearBest has a wide assortment of unlocked Android cell phones and tablets.
What about consumer electronics? Those make a great gift.
Absolutely. From high-tech watches to action cameras, headphones, even virtual reality headsets. Cat5.tv/GearBest has you covered. They literally have it all, Jeff. Literally.
Really?
It's like a superstore right from the comfort of your own chair at your computer through the interweb.
Yeah, there's no way they have it all.
It's true.
It's just a bunch of random electronics.
Test me.
What about clothes?
Yep, both men and women, fashionable apparel at rock bottom super duper prices.
Kind of like this?
Well, look at this coat. What do you think? It's a slimming mock leather jacket.
I love it.
It's available for less than $30 plus free shipping at cat5.tv/gearbest.
All right. You kind of got me there.
Wow. Any other questions for me, Jeff?
Now that the winter has passed, flying season, do they have any good deals on, say, drone copters?
Oh, my goodness. Well, check this out. Dude, they have everything. Check out over 500 various drones. And not only that, they're available marked down by about 30 to up to 63% off the regular price.
Love it. What's the website again?
Well, you're going to find GearBest on our partners' pages for any of your favorite Category 5 TV shows, like New Every Day, Category 5 Technology TV, The Pixel Shadow. But of course, if you want to shop absolutely right now and you want to go straight to the site, all you have to do is visit cat5.tv/GearBest.
See, that's easy. Cat5.tv/GearBest.
That's right. Happy shopping.
So welcome back to New Every Day. We were just talking about, you know, what are you missing out on because you're choosing not to take the risk? And before we started recording this afternoon, Shelley shared with me a devotional, and like every other line, I was like, it was like swords going and piercing and separating. And so I've asked her if she would share the devotional, which is on risk. So share that with us.
It says, am I taking risks? Goliath held the Israelites in bondage for 40 days. I am sure they prayed for God to remove the giant, But it wasn't until David took a risk, walk into the valley and cut Goliath's head off, that people were set free. Prayer is a good thing, but every leader will face a point when we have to put our prayers into action. On August 10th, 1999, I was having lunch at Red Lobster with a mentor and discussing with him what I really felt God was stirring me to do something. Oh, I read that wrong. He looked at me as I was eating a cheese biscuits sandwich and asked me, "What would you be willing to attempt for God if you knew you could not fail?" Which is a really big question in itself. Without hesitating, I answered, "I would start a church." He replied, "You are a coward if you don't." That 1 minute dialogue ruined my lunch. Seriously, I couldn't eat any more cheese biscuits. I knew he was right. I knew God had told me in 1996 that I would start a church one day, but I kept making excuses. The first being that I was too young, and the second being that I was praying about it. Anyone can see a problem. It takes a leader to examine why the problem is there and decide what to do about it. Leaders deal with problems. They don't run from them. Most of the time, we want to be like David, but we act like Saul. God puts us in positions of leadership to lead. When it comes to leadership, denial leads to disaster. Leadership means embracing every situation that God sends our way, even the uncomfortable ones. The Lord does not put problems in front of us just so we can pray them away. Yes, we have to pray, but we must participate with the Lord as well, by becoming the leader He has called us to be. What's next? What risk is God calling you to take? Is there a problem you know you need to deal with, but you keep putting it off? Three big questions that about risk taking that I think we've all kind of wrestled with day to day, or, you know, month to month, whatever it may be. Yeah.
See what I mean? Like, reading, as she was reading that, and this is the second time I've heard it, I'm just like, And so, you know, that question, the first question he asked was, you know, what risk would you take for God if there was no fear or something, if you weren't afraid?
Yeah, if you could not fail. And I mean, that is a open-ended question almost, because it's like, what would you do if you know you couldn't fail, kind of thing. But
so have you thought about that, what you would do?
In a sense, but it sounds so cliche because it's not well formed or thought out. So, you know?
Gosh.
What would you do?
If I knew I couldn't fail? Oh, I don't know. Like, sometimes it's like, okay, well, I would stop working in a church and I would work in a parachurch ministry because then I wouldn't have to worry about money, right? But I also know God is my provider.
Yeah.
Sometimes the other part would be, I think conversations.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with conversations and friendships and talking to people. Mm-hmm. I think I would have more friendships. I would have more conversations with people.
Like, because you would have more time.
Well, no. I genuinely sometimes am afraid of talking to people.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm afraid to take the risk of talking to them because I'm afraid of them rejecting me, or I'm afraid of them, you know, thinking, who is she and why is she talking to us? Like, right. I genuinely think I would have more conversations with people, more, like, I would have more adventures. Mm-hmm. But I'm so, like, I'm so afraid sometimes of it. I just finished listening to And the Angels Were Silent by Max Lucado. Mm-hmm. Great book. But one of the things he says is sometimes we can get so caught up in being practical, because it's better to be practical, because generosity costs too much. And he says sometimes it costs more to be practical than it does to be generous. And I was like,
It costs more to be generous.
It costs more to be practical than it does
to be generous.
Like, because you're losing out on the relationship. You're losing out on the adventure. You're losing out on what has God called. Like, you're losing out because you're so concerned about being practical and not wasting anything. But you're actually wasting the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Like, this has been a week of squirming. Like, squirming, where those little arrows come in. And you're like, oh. And so as a result, I've actually started adventuring more.
Good.
Like going on the road. Because I used to say, well, I don't have $20. That's a waste to put $20 in my tank, right?
Yeah.
In my gas tank, just to go on the road for an adventure and listen to God and take in what it is. But yet, I've started doing it. And the joy that I come back with is like, I can't pay for the joy. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
And so in a sense, being practical was costing me more in my heart, in my mind, than it was money.
Mm-hmm. And so practically.
Yeah, because the practical side of me says, you can spend that $20 on something else.
Yeah, something more while my time kind of thing.
Yeah, and so, you know, what is it that I would risk more? I think I would be more risky with my time. Because we talked about that a few shows ago, how I tend to be just a planner. I plan, because I don't want to waste my time. I think I would take more risks with my time. And as a result, I think I would have more adventures. Because I think that where I'm at as far as my job goes, I think I am fair. I feel like I am where God wants me to be.
Right.
So I think.
So everything's kind of fit into place.
Right. And I think he's actually provided to me now a platform where I can take more risks.
Yeah. Crazy to think, too, eh?
I know. And so, you know, that thought, David knew who God was, right? He says in that passage, you know, you come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God. And it's like, yeah! And so, at the end of our adventure in Hamilton, we had to get back over to these stairs to go back up the gorge. And I had specifically said, it are the stairs on this side of the lake, or on the side of the stream. And they're both like, yep. And I'm like, okay, then we'll just keep going. The stairs were not on the side of the stream.
She wanted to know practically where we needed to go so we can get there.
Yeah.
But we love side turns and getting off the highway and unexpected exits and going through tunnels or going by rocks and hopping on things and journeying through different aspects of where we were. And she just wanted to get where she needed to go. But so that's the whole, you know, the toss-up. So it was funny because we're very different people, but at the same time, we do have to get to someplace.
We do.
Have to get to the ending.
We have to get to the ending. And so I needed to know where the ending was, so I could prepare myself. So we come around, literally, I lost sight of both her and James. I go up over the hill, and there they are standing beside, what, a foot, like this. It's really hard because now I'm driving with my knee. And I said, is this the only way across?
And then we'll show you a picture of it, too.
And they're like, well, unless you want to go all the way back around where we can. I'm like, and like,
the look on her face was that of, we had disappointed Jen. We were disappointments in that moment. And she was like, no, this can't be the only way. And we're like, this is the only way. So we had to face another fear of yours, Jen.
Oh, boy. And so, we'll show you the picture. I had to shimmy across this log, and the log was 6 meters long.
It was about, like, this wide.
Yeah, about a foot and a half, 2 feet wide, which I was okay with that. The first log that Shelly went across, I'm like, no way, man, I'm not going on that.
It was pretty thin.
Pretty thin. And this one was, I'm like, okay. And before I got on, I'm like, dear Lord Jesus.
She said a prayer before she went across a log.
Oh, yeah. Because the water underneath this log was rolling, like rolling.
It was right. So this is the waterfall, and then this is the little stream, and then the log is right here. So it was gushing kind of water, and it would take you away.
Oh, yeah. And that's literally what James said. He's like, well, we'll pick you up further downstream. I'm like, thanks so much, James. So I got on the log, and I just kept my eye focused on the log, like, and I got about 3/4 way across. I was so tired, and James is like, come on. I'm like, I'm really tired right now. And then I got up, and I'm like, I did it.
She did it.
I feel really good about having done that, having accomplished that.
And my question was to her, was that fearful or was it more nervous? Because I think sometimes those two can be associated together or apart. Because when I thought about going across the log, I thought I just need to get across. So that was my kind of whole mentality. And there was no fear. It's just I needed to do it. And it's just the doing of it that I needed to get done, which sounds so tongue twistery. But her fear was I may fall in. Genuine fear of I may fall in and get swept downstream. And someone's going to have to come get me.
And I'm going to be all wet, not just up to my knees.
Yeah, it would have taken her away. But she did it.
But so. I did it. And I feel like so like accomplished because I did it.
She did it.
So.
Are you taking risks?
Are you taking risks? And what kind of risk would you take if you know that you couldn't fail? And what is the Lord asking you to do? What kind of risk is God asking you to do? So as we end off here, we just want to encourage you to be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
He's with us.
He is with us. So thanks for tuning in today. Take a look at our website, neweveryday.tv. Go to our partners page. Check that out if you need to buy that book, And the Angels Were Silent. Max Lucado, go to Amazon through our website. Click on the link and purchase it. You can get it in Audible download as well. But we encourage you this week to take a risk. To take a risk. And if you're afraid of taking the risk, say, Dear Jesus, help me to take a risk today. So on that note, we're going to sign off. It's more fun. It is more fun. Take the risk.
Yep.
Catch you later. Bye.